You're listening to WGXC, Accra, 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we are going to hear some of the music of the Pointer Sisters as Anita Pointer died this weekend at the age of 74. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the WGXC local news and after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Zach Williams reports for the New York Post that Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation raising state lawmakers' pay from $110,000 to $142,000 per year. The increase will make New York lawmakers the highest-paid legislators in the country. The legislation was sponsored by Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie and State Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins. In exchange for the raise, however, lawmakers must accept some limits on outside income that will essentially amount to $35,000 per year and will become effective at the beginning of 2023, according to the legislative language. According to the Post account, Hochul had, quote, played coy for more than a week, unquote, about whether she would sign the pay raise bill following a special session last week called by Stewart-Cousins and Heastie. But in early December, she said a salary increase was fine by her if legislators approved limits on outside income as well. Read more about this story at NewYorkPost.com.
Paul Kirby is reporting for the Daily Freeman. In a statement Thursday, December 29th, State Senator Michelle Henchy said she will vote against Governor Kathy Hochul's nomination of Judge Hector LaSalle to serve as the next Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals. In a statement Thursday and tweets posted on December 22nd, the Saugerties Democrat said, and I quote, "While I express my support for the many other accomplished and experienced Chief Judge candidates, I had also made it clear that I cannot support a nominee who has delivered anti-choice, anti-union rulings. If the Honorable LaSalle's nomination comes to the floor, I will vote no," end quote. Henchy said LaSalle's nomination should be opposed. And I quote, "especially at a time when our rights are being attacked by a highly conservative U.S. Supreme Court, it's of the utmost importance that, here in our state, we appoint judges who deeply believe in and defend our New York values," end quote. Hochul nominated LaSalle on December 22nd to head the Court of Appeals. If approved, LaSalle would be the first Latino to head that court and serve as head administrator for the statewide court system. LaSalle is a Long Island native and former prosecutor. He is currently the presiding justice of the state's second appellate division, which handles appeals from the state courts in Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island. His nomination is supported by a number of Democrats, including Attorney General Letitia James and Kingston Mayor Steve Noble. However, the nomination has drawn criticism from others, particularly progressive lawmakers and advocates, who cite his history of controversial opinions and past work as a prosecutor. The Senate has 30 days from December 22nd to vote on the nominee. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
The Columbia paper reports that the Chatham Board of Education, December 13th, adopted a proposed capital improvement project to, quote, "improve its educational facilities and address issues with aging infrastructure," unquote. The project proposed is eligible for 49.6% state aid, which reduces its impact on local property taxes. For every dollar the district spends, it would receive approximately 50 cents in state building aid. Quote, "This project represents an important moment for Chatham. Along with keeping our buildings operating safely and efficiently, it is an opportunity to make our facilities future-ready and advance our instructional programs," unquote, Chatham Superintendent Sal D'Angelo said. project includes two propositions that will be decided by voters on February 14th. Proposition 1 seeks voters' approval on an $18.22 million plan to shore up aging infrastructure, improve classroom and community spaces, and address safety, security, and health concerns at all three school buildings and the district bus garage. Officials would apply for $8.43 million from the Capital Reserve Fund and issue bonds to fund the remainder, resulting in a property tax increase. Owners of a home valued at $300,000 would see their property taxes increase by 23.37 cents. Proposition number one is a standalone project. Proposition two will ask voters to permit the spending of $3.9 million to install air conditioning at Mary E. Dardis Elementary School. Bonds would be issued for the portion of the project, thereby requiring a separate additional tax increase for property owners. For a home valued at $300,000, that tax increase would be $28.08. Proposition 2 is dependent on Proposition 1 and would only pass if voters okay both propositions. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper.
Andrea Meko is reporting for Porcupine Soup. Town of Cairo residents and officials received unpleasant news this week when they determined the town's 2023 tax levy increase is 7.5%, nearly 15 times higher than the 0.513% that Town Supervisor Jason Watts projected when the town board adopted the budget on November 7th. Because 7.5% far exceeds the state tax cap, the board has held a short emergency meeting on the afternoon of December 29th and adopted a local law to override the cap. However, questions remain as to whether the board acted too late and exactly how the mistake was made in the first place. Town Attorney Tal Rapplia explained during the emergency meeting, and I quote, "We realized just last night, notwithstanding the fact that we thought the tax levy was going to go up by 0.5%, that when tax bills came out, it is actually 7.5%, end quote. He added, and I quote, "We don't know how this happened. The only thing we can think of is there was some type of typographical or accounting error in the document that the town presented on the night of the public hearing," end quote. The board ultimately voted unanimously to override the tax cap, with Watts board members Mary Jo Quartz and Deborah Bogans present. Members Tim Powers and Michael Flannery were absent. In an email, Powers said that while he had voted to adopt the 2023 budget in November, he did so because Watts told the board the tax levy increase was going to be less than 8%. What's more, he said, and I quote, "The emergency meeting was supposed to be at 7 p.m. on Thursday, but after I indicated that I was against overriding the tax cap and wanted to rescind the entire budget, they moved the meeting to 1 p.m. They knew I couldn't be there due to work," end quote. The announcement of the emergency meeting, called Thursday morning, was posted on the door to Town Hall. No notices were placed on the town's website or Facebook page, and, to date, there is no 2023 budget information available at townofcairo.com. Under state law, local governments must keep the annual tax levy increase at or below the cap or adopt a local law to override the cap. In October, the Cairo Town Board conducted the required public hearing in anticipation of adopting a local law, but never followed through. Residents and local attorney Monica Kenny Keff told Rapplia from the audience, "The state does not allow local governments to retroactively override the tax cap." She said, and I quote, "This has to be in place and passed before the vote on the budget," end quote. Read the full story at porcupinesoup.com.
David Robinson reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that New York will soon begin enforcing a 2021 state law establishing staffing minimums at nursing homes. Offending facilities will face fines of up to $2,000 per day for failing to meet the new staffing levels and related financial standards. Roughly 75% of the state's 600 nursing homes have been violating the standards as of early 2022, industry officials said. At this point, hundreds of nursing homes either must hire more staff or reduce the number of residents to avoid fines during the coming months. State health officials also can waive fines in specific communities based on a formula for declaring a local labor shortage. Enforcement of the staffing minimums had been delayed for almost a year during executive orders and a legal challenge involving the law. At the same time, many nursing home operators argue they are struggling to attract and afford new workers. Some have already started rejecting new residents, leaving hospitals across upstate facing bed shortages due to large number of well patients awaiting placement at nursing homes. The state law requires every facility to maintain daily staffing hours equal to 3.5 hours of care per resident per day by a certified nurse aide, licensed practical nurse, or registered nurse. The law also requires nursing homes to spend at least 70% of its revenue on direct resident care and at least 40% of revenue on resident-facing staffing. Read the full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Jamal Cutler is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hudson Common Council Wednesday, December 28th, adopted a new local law, taking the first step toward the creation of a sidewalk improvement district that would be subsidized by a fee assessed to residents. At the special meeting held to discuss the city's deteriorating sidewalks Wednesday, the council immediately went behind closed doors for 25 minutes to discuss with legal counsel the proposed local law that would create a sidewalk improvement district. Elected officials were working under a January 1st deadline to act on the resolution or face an undetermined penalty for noncompliance from the state. Under the measure, the annual maintenance fee for undeveloped lots and silver lots is zero. For low foot traffic lots, it is $100, and for all others, it is $200. The frontage fee will be $30, and the square footage fee is 15 cents per square foot. The fees will be reviewed annually by the council. Fees will be determined by the property classification. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said he was pleased with the meeting's outcome. He said, and I quote, "After a bumpy start with the council, we cleared up all the misinformation and arrived at unanimous support for moving this forward," end quote. Editor's note, DiPietro was a volunteer WGXE on-air host, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Because of New Year's Day falls on a Sunday this year, the holiday is observed on January 2nd. The Daily Freeman has a rundown of how various services and offices will be affected. Amtrak is on a Sunday schedule on Monday. Banks are closed. County offices are closed. The federal offices are closed. The financial markets are open. There's no mail delivery on Monday. Metro North has an enhanced Saturday schedule on January 2nd. Schools are closed, state offices are closed, and go to trailways.com to see the bus schedule.
And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Monday, January 2nd. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Stewart's Shops in Haynes Falls has gas at $3.39 a gallon. That's the lowest price according to the Gas Buddy website. Then the air quality forecast is only a 9 on Monday. That's very low, which is very good. The UV index is just a 1 on Monday, January 2nd, the forecast. And the temperature of the water in the Hudson River in Albany is just below 46 degrees, and that's higher than average. It's usually just below 42 degrees, at least over the last 10 years on January 2nd. National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Monday with a high of 46 and a west wind 3 to 7 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Monday night, increasing clouds are expected with a low around 34 and wind from the south around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, rain is in the forecast. There's a 90% chance, mainly after 9 a.m., with a high of 53 and a south wind 9 to 11 miles per hour. There's an 80% chance of rain again on Tuesday night with a low around 48 and a southwest wind 9 to 14 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 24 miles per hour. Wednesday, rain is again in the forecast. There's an 80% chance with a high of 58 and a low around 30. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Monday, January 2nd, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on 90.7 FM, WGXC, including at 11 a.m. Brendan Donegan is live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street, and he's playing three artists from Canada. There's new music throughout the afternoon from the Deep Threes and Vital Weekly programs. Then at 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show is live from Western Massachusetts with Kieran Riley as your host. At 8 p.m., we're live from Acre with Winslow from Athens and his Upon the Cypress Bough show that focuses on music from Western Asia, North Africa, and Central Asia. And then folks from Palinville, Nick and Lisa, host the Radiant Point show at 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, you can find out about the Ice Skating in the Gilded Age online event that's sponsored by the Hudson Area Library. It's at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 24th, and it features Marie Reynolds, the curator at Stottsburg State Park, and an avid ice skater talking about the history of competitive skating, early indoor ice rinks, fashion, and more about ice skating in New York in the Gilded Age. Go to the WGXC community calendar online to find out the way to get the Zoom link to tune in to Ice Skating in the Gilded Age and add your own event at the WGXC community calendar if you want to hear it read on the radio at WGXC.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Gun violence is a national health emergency in this country, and we need to treat it like that.
Senator Elizabeth Warren made gun violence a centerpiece of her 2020 presidential run. With gun-related deaths now at a record high, Warren has reintroduced the Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act, which includes a federal gun licensing system, a ban on military-style assault weapons, and greater investments in gun violence research. Supporters of renewable energy say 2023 could be a promising year.
Climate change is the greatest growth opportunity in our lifetime.
Representative Val Demings of Florida says climate provisions included in the Inflation Reduction Act mean more jobs, factories, and homes to use renewable energy. The act also extends renewable energy tax credits and helps remove barriers to low-income households to use clean energy sources. The national baby formula shortage isn't over just yet, but Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan applauds a bipartisan effort to pass the Access to Baby Formula Act.
It's an incredible, incredible emergency. And what I so appreciate is that we came together.
The bill helps ensure parents and babies who rely on public assistance maintain access to vital nutrition. Abbott Nutrition, the country's largest producer of baby formula, has announced plans for a new production facility in Ohio and the phase-out of its formula business in mainland China, which contributed to widespread shortages. When Democrat Wes Moore won Maryland's gubernatorial election last year, he made history by becoming the state's first black governor.
We are so energized and ready. This is our time, Maryland. This is our time.
Moore also helped his state shift to full Democratic control. The National Conference of State Legislatures says state control is more unified in either the blue or the red column than ever, while the number of divided state governments is lower than ever.
We have got to make sure that we are careful about not alienating, you know, wide swaths of the American public to the Army.
Army Secretary Christine Wormuth says general officers should exercise good judgment and avoid the so-called culture wars when using social media. A new Pew Research Center survey finds just 34% of U.S. adults think social media has been good for democracy, while 64% say it has had a bad impact. Finally, a study by Northwestern University finds some 200 counties in the U.S. have no local newspaper, while about 1,600 other counties have only one. Media observers note the places where local news is disappearing are often the same places holding disproportionate political power. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new series of essays by the Brennan Center for Justice gives examples of how voter suppression and gerrymandering made the overturning of Roe v. Wade possible. In 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court essentially greenlighted this year's extreme gerrymandering around the country by ceding authority to state legislatures. Texas, for example, manipulated the voting districts so that Democrats would need a 56.2% majority to win, while Republicans only needed a 43% majority, locking in seats and controlling the legislature. The Brennan Center also noted that the 36 recently enacted laws eroding the freedom to vote in 18 states now makes it harder for communities of color to have a voice. By gutting the Voting Rights Act and making it more difficult to appeal discriminatory state laws, the U.S. Supreme Court has aided and abetted voter suppression. U.S. senators don't have voting districts, so how do they stay in power and not face consequences for supporting extremist Supreme Court justices and opposing democracy reforms like the Freedom to Vote Act? The answer is money. Corporate donations unleashed after the court's Citizens United and McCutcheon decisions flooded U.S. Senate campaigns and super PACs with special interest money, buying the blocking of Merrick Garland's nomination and the seating of Donald Trump's 3 nominees. Gerrymandering and unlimited campaign cash can be overcome with overwhelming turnout to primary and general elections, but that depends on you. A link to the Brennan Center's article is at our website, AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Commercial Carrier Journal reports about how the Federal Communications Commission's expansion of citizens band radio from AM and single sideband to include FM frequencies will impact truckers and others who use CB radios. Currently, the 40 channels on CB radios are on the 11-meter band from 26.965 megahertz to 27.405 megahertz, considered AM radio. Upper and lower single sideband modes can be selected on higher-end CBs among those 40 channels to provide improved AM transmission with greater power and range. The FM frequencies being added will come in clearer. The Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences at UC Berkeley says that FM frequencies will provide an, quote, improved signal-to-noise ratio about 25 dB with regards to man-made interference, unquote, over the current AM frequencies. Quote, this is going to bring a lot of good things for professional users of the CB radio band like truckers, because a lot of times when the skip's really rolling and the solar cycle is at its peak, sometimes it can interfere with truckers communicating up and down the highways. FM is really going to cut that down, unquote, amateur radio expert Matt Kaskovich said. FM signals won't travel as far, but what will be much clearer. Quote, FM is going to provide for better clarity of signal and better short-range communication without having to worry about people from all over the country and really all over the world when the cycle is at its peak interfering as you're trying to talk a few miles up and down the interstate, unquote, Kaskovich said. Read more about this story at the Commercial Carrier Journal. Go to waveform.org for more radio news.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 2nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 28 in Red Hook to 44 degrees across the river in High Falls. Regional average soil temperature is 40 degrees. You'd think winter wasn't even trying. Today's snowfall will be 300 miles away north of Montreal. And in our quaint little valley and mountain range, it's going to be dry and in absolute terms will be cold. So bring a coat and hat. Seasonably, it's still warm, hitting 49 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 35 degrees. Rain starts before dawn, then keeps going all day. Daylight won't hold the high temperature as the mercury rises steadily all day, hitting 45 by noon, 50 by dark, and peaking at 53 degrees overnight as the rain keeps on falling. It gets light Wednesday morning, but remains, and we get a high of 55. Thursday, still looking moist with a high of only 39 degrees. After that, things getting seasonable again. Sunset today will be at 4:20 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see a slowly approaching coronal mass ejection is expected Wednesday. X-class flare chances are at 5% today. Solar wind speed is currently 498 kilometers per second at 8.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 94, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of J. Johannes Froebel Parker of Ravenna, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Hudson Valley-based band Garcia Peoples perform Saturday, January 14th at Tubby's in Kingston. Garcia Peoples was formed in New Jersey by guitarist Tom Malak and Danny Arakaki, and later joined by Danny's brother Caesar on drums and Derek Spaldo on bass. Then they moved to the Hudson Valley and are now joined by keyboardist and multi-instrumentalist Pat Gubler from Copake and bassist Andy Cush. Garcia Peoples play at Tubby's in Kingston on Saturday, January 14th. Find out more about this event and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon, brilliant flaming orb, giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
So you quote, love unquote me. Well, stranger things have come to be, but let's agree to disagree, 'cause I don't. City.
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening. You're listening to 90.7
Vin, Vin.
90.7 WGXC Acra Catskills.
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 Today.
East Durham.
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 Catskills.
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 Turn out on Wednesday, January 4th to hear Sunburned Hand of the Man, Franklin's Mint, and Domestic Drafts perform at Tubby's in Kingston. Sunburned Hand of the Man is a legendary noisy jam band, and the psychedelia continues with Franklin's Mint from Phil Franklin and Garcia People's Andy Cush performing in Domestic Drafts. That's Wednesday, January 4th at 8 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. Find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org. Here is 2022 new music from Jason Wolfman Martin of Troy, New York. This song is called Nobody Hears It from his album Test Signal.
Record has never been made. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, hears it, hears it. Nobody hears it, nobody hears it. Have you heard this record? Nobody hears it. Cause one day all this will change. Never travel with low. Seas will all rise up. Shall burn.
go out and shed your death. Just let it fall right down. With endless fascination, how much will you hold?
Don't lie. 2022 new music there from Ty Segall. The song is called Don't Lie. And you're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio for open ears.
Next on WGXC here is 2022 local music from Catskill's Lex Gray and the Urban Pioneers. The song is called I Believe in You.
You believe in me. We can take on the whole wild world, and we can live in harmony. We can find what's true, be the change we want to see.
down in the gutter. When you're down on your luck, man, no longer on top of the mountain. Take the light in your heart. I believe in you. You believe in me. We can take on the whole wide world, and we can live in harmony. Be the change you want.
Sitting at this party, wondering if anyone knows me, really sees who I am. Oh, it's been so long since I fell. Overwhelming change.
Ways Blood there. From the 2022 album End in the Darkness, Hearts Aglow, it's not just me, it's everybody.
Let me speak from the heart without love.
That was the Ibibi Sound Machine with Electricity from 2022.
Here's 2022 new music from the Dust Bowl Fairies. This is called The Changeling on WGXC 90.7 FM.
She's falling apart. She's losing it. She's full of dread. She's on the run. She's full of dread. She's losing it. She's falling apart.
Magic.
Next, we hear It's Hard to Say Exactly How I Feel from the 2022 EP 5 for 5 from Jaded Azarides, which is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer and legendary bassist Mike Watt from the Minutemen and Firehose and other projects.
Like train wheels whispering to a stop. Like a peony releasing sound.